This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Friday at 9 a.m., and that can mean only one thing. It is time for our manager's report. It is brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better. And joining us right now on Ben and Woods, the skipper of the San Diego Padres in L.A., facing the Dodgers tonight, Mike Schilt is with us. Skip, it's good to have you back on the show. Good morning.
What's up, my dudes? How you doing?
We're good. We're good. And let's start. Since we talked to you last Friday, there was a bit of a notable comeback between then and now. What a game that was on Monday against the Cubs to fall behind like that and have your team come back. What was your perspective from the dugout to see that at Petco Park, see the crowd getting more and more excited as you went on that 7-run rally in the sixth inning, and then when Fernando Tatis Jr. hit the go-ahead home run, and the place just went absolutely crazy. Just some of the manager's thoughts on that game.
Yeah, it was a special game, clearly. It was great that the fans were rightfully excited and into it and passionate as they are, got some love themselves and some reward for their encouragement of us. And it was just fantastic the way the guys competed. And of course, Fernando put the final touch on it. But, you know, you're down 8-0, and, you know, guys could easily go, all right, just not our night, and cash it in. But, you know, really stepped up and competed regardless of circumstance, which is a great trait. And, you know, Crony got us going with a non-pitch homer, which is a great at-bat. And, you know, kind of took it from there. It was a fantastic way to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Petco.
It was incredible. I mean, I was about to turn it in for the night. Just got to get up early, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I said, I'm gonna ride this one out, see if they show me anything. And boy, did they ever, Skip. Wanted to ask you about the next night, Joe Musgrove, and Yu Darvish. I guess that night they've scuffled. Now it's hard, right? You're the manager, and you're like, oh man, we had a really nice run through the rotation. Mm-hmm. The rotation seeming to get locked in, and then you can't find it. Joe can't find it. You got to go to your bullpen early. How are those guys doing? And kind of what do you make of that?
Well, you know, I make that, you know, the other side's trying to, you know, and they just looked early on were sharp and just couldn't. You know, couldn't keep going. But what I make of it, you know, not a whole lot in regards to the big picture of it. You know, Joe's a stud, as we all know. He's a pro's pro and, you know, accomplished guy. So both those guys are going to be just fine. They feel good. And they're chomping the bit for their next outing.
You know, as fans, I think we tend to ride more of even an emotional roller coaster sometimes than maybe you guys do or the players do. But one thing that was frustrating from our perspective last season was seemingly like, oh, okay, 12 runs, oh, 2 runs, yeah, you know, 8 runs, no runs, and saw a bit of it this week. You know, obviously it worked out. You guys bounced back with the big performance on Wednesday against the Cubs. Do you see anything there, though? Is there anything to, you call it a lack of consistency, or is that, in your mind, just kind of how baseball works?
I think that's more along the line. Look, we want to be as consistent as possible all the time. So let's start there. You know, we want and expect to have a consistent offense that's going to be able to score, you know, 4 to 5 runs every night, which more than puts you in a position on most nights to win games. So let's just be clear about that. Let's also look and you know, evaluate the body of work to this point. And, you know, there's a lot of different metrics that evaluate your offense, rightfully so. But you look at them and you recognize, you know what, this has been over the course of the first 15 games, rather, a top 10 offense. And you say, well, you know, you score 10 runs, that's an outlier. You score 2, that can be an outlier. And yeah, we scored 2 multiple times and came up on the short side of it and recognized that during those games that we got to capture some of the moments. So all those are positives. The other thing I'll say without ever making an excuse, because that's not really a part of our gig, but also being realistic is, you know, hitting's the hardest thing to do in the world.
Yep.
And it's more of a challenge now. I love our approach, love what we're doing, but the fact of the matter is, you know, I've done this job before and you know, studied our game, and I can tell you that rightfully so, I understand the emotion tied to it. The hunger to compete every day to win as a team and of course our fan base. But I got to tell you, there's probably 29 other markets that managers have similar calls. and just because, you know, the nature of the hitting relative to the pitching, the stuff that's coming out now, the awareness of how to the attack plans, the clarity of positioning, all those things lead to it being more of a challenge to hit now than the specialization of how guys are used in pitching. It's just more of a challenge to be consistent to have those 4 to 5 runs every night. And but I do feel like we're going in a right direction. I think we've proven that.
Talking to the skipper, Mike Shildt, here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, yeah, it pains me, honestly, when Ha-Sung Kim makes an error, because I know how good he is. And I know that you moved him to short because he is a better defender. He is the best option, in my opinion, at shortstop that we have. And I know you feel the same way. For a player like him who literally cares so much and he always gives every bit of himself, almost too much. I mean, sometimes I'm like, hey, you got to dial it back. We got a long season. He doesn't have a dial back mode. How hard has he taken his defensive performances lately? And what do you say to a guy like that that's going through one of those scuffles where, let's be honest, he's probably happy when the ball gets hit to third or second for a minute, you know, until he can get back on his feet?
Yeah, you know, I think he probably still wants the ball. You know, again, looking at it from a big picture, you look at it from the first 14 games, he's still a top-rated shortstop relative to any metric you want to see. You know, that being said, he'd be the first to, like you say, takes it hard. He cares a ton. And he wants to do well for a lot of reasons. And so he had made a few plays. And, you know, the last ball that, you know, got to him in the other day was, man, it came off, like, just different. Not only in the velocity of the way it came off, but just the kind of the hop it took. So it's hard for him to be in rhythm. But he'll be the first to tell you, you got to make that play. And so, you know, what do you say to him? Keep going. You doing all right? Yep, doing fine. Believe in you 100%. And, you know, ninth inning, two outs, base loaded, one run game. You know, I want the ball hit to you.
Yeah.
So, and he'll, you know, and we do. So he'll be just fine. And, but he does care a tremendous amount and, you know, just, don't want to make anything bigger than what it is.
We've seen some pregame throws across the diamond from Manny Machado this week as he works toward returning to third base. I think even more importantly, we've seen a lot of swings that look very Manny Machado-like. Have you noticed a difference, Mike, in Manny the last a week or so?
I have, yeah. I think he's getting back to being in a good place. You know, I mentioned this somewhat recently. If you think about Manny, you know, first of all, the good indicator is, you know, he's driving the ball all over the field, driving the ball in the right center. He's done that a fair amount this year, but, you know, did it again the other day. Getting on the high fastball, which means he feels good to be able to get to it in the appropriate manner and be freed up to do so. So those are all good signs. He's on the mend, you know, physically and in a couple different ways with the swing and not only, and of course, his elbow. You know, he is throwing across the bases. He's starting to, you know, feel even better about that. He's got good carry that you know, we expect out of Manny, and he's starting to feel good and recover well, which is equally important so he can take the next steps. You know, but you think about it, this guy's playing in Major League Baseball games as clearly our DH and hitting, but very few times are you playing during the same period of time you're still rehabbing. So he's in two different worlds, right? He's playing Major League Baseball, and he's still in a rehabilitation process. And that's fairly unique. And he's handling it well, and he's getting on the other side of it.
And how much, because we hear it all the time from ex-players, in fact, players that have played with Manny, how much does that do for, because I'll see fans from time to time, and I try not to get in the weeds with it, but, you know, you see fans, well, he's actually hurting the team. If he's not swinging it well and he can't play defense, he's hurting the team. But the fact that he goes, gets treatment, you know, tries to take care to make sure that he's on the field, how much does that go for the other players? The guy, I mean, he makes a lot of money, right? I mean, and he takes pride in wanting to win. How far does that go with the other players seeing Manny go out there and try to grind through injury?
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, if he was like injured and he couldn't perform and he, you know, he would be the first to say, you know, I'm not going to attempt to compete, nor would we put him in that position. So, you know, his teammates always appreciate the fact this guy posts, because he's a guy that over his career has done just that. He's not a guy that lets you take any days off. He doesn't have a history of ILs. Unfortunately, he had a, you know, first real medical issue he's had in his career. And I can tell you with confidence he's played through some different things. That's what players do. They figure out a way to get through it and perform, which he's done his whole career. So, you know, it's important that he does continue to do that. You know, it shows his teammates that he clearly cares, but he's not out there, you know, with the limitations that don't allow him to perform. And, you know, Manny's helped his team. So, I mean, he's got some RBIs that, you know, he's hit some homers that have been big for us. So he's helping. He also is a guy you got a game plan in the lineup. So, you know, his presence in the middle of the lineup, still Manny Machado, and he's, you know, dangerous with the bat, and he's proven it multiple times this year. So, you know, he's helped us in a lot of regards.
Dodgers tonight, this weekend, and he split with them in Korea. You know what, from my perspective, I feel like I've seen times with this particular, the Padres, where the Dodger series has meant a little too much. Like, let's really focus and get up for it. And then I've seen the other way. Let's pretend that they're just exactly the same as every other team. These games are important, though. I mean, there's the team that you want to chase down always in this division. How do you approach kind of a regular season, normal weekend series, but it is against the Dodgers and it is up there at Dodger Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, we can't ignore the fact it's a rival. There's competition. We're right down the road. Yeah, I mean, we can't ignore that. We won't even try to ignore it. We'll actually embrace it. But, you know, personally, and, you know, we just play baseball, man. We're going to play regardless of who shows up on the schedule, and we're going to prepare to win the game regardless of who's on the schedule. We're going to compete, again, regardless of who the opponent is. And we're going to respect our opponent, and we're not going to make it any bigger than it is. Yeah, was it, you know, going to have a little more, you know, different energy playing in L.A., you know, in that stadium? And, you know, clearly we know and respect what they've been able to accomplish. But, you know, I think it's a real trap to make it anything bigger than it is. And it's really about how we compete. And if you look up at the end of the night and, you know, we get after it for the whole entire game, and we have good offensive at-bats and handle our situations and execute and play clean defensively and throw strikes and make our pitches, at the end of the day, we'll feel pretty good about being able to shake hands. And that's what our goal is every game against any opponent.
They do provide a unique challenge. Like, I think your team does as well, because, you know, veteran pitchers will find guys in the lineup that they feel like, I can get out. Tough to do, especially with the top of that Dodgers order, with how good their players are. Just like it's tough to, you know, face Tatis and Machado, and now Jake's hitting so well in order. How do you kind of approach that when they do have such a dangerous, you know, top five, six in their order?
Yeah, well, that's the part that is a challenge, right? I mean, they've got really good players, and they're off to a really good start, and you know, they're very established and know what they do. They've got cohesiveness to how they operate. They communicate well during the game. They see the game well. They make adjustments. So, yeah, I mean, you got to be on your game every night in the big leagues. But you really need to be able to, when you get challenged with other teams that execute, that have a real strong identity of who they are and are going to compete and have the talent, then you got to be on your game. And but we expect that every night. So, you know, it's about execution, and is it more of a challenge just honestly to execute against a high caliber club? Yeah, because they're trying to. But that's what we'll look to do, and that's what we expect to do.
Talking to the skipper, Mike. So, last one for me, Skip. I want to talk, if you can, It's a little dicey, maybe. About intent. Intent. When you're managing and you see one of your superstars, Fernando Tatis, he ended up on his butt a couple times late in the game on Wednesday. Any intent thought there? I know Padres fans were a little bit up in arms about Tati continuing to get it kind of up and in. And boy, he made him pay the other night, you know, when they went inside on him and then he hung that slider and he hit it out of the yard. But a couple days later, or the next day, gets kind of brushed back a little bit. Your thoughts on the intent there?
I mean, I don't know what they show during the games. I don't go back and watch the games. You know, they don't need to show me ever. But I've said my piece. I'm not going to run the field and start, you know, throwing blows yet, but I think I made it pretty clear in some circles, you know, that we're not going to tolerate that. So we'll always defend our guy, but there's different ways that gets done. But there's been some dialogue that allows people to know we don't appreciate it.
Interesting. Well, yes. Have a good trip. Let's see you back here next Friday. We'll talk to you next Friday back in town next week. And good luck against the Dodgers and the Brewers coming up.
All right. Thank you very much. You have a good week.
Thank you, too.
Mike Schilt, manager of the San Diego Padres. Our manager's report brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better. Let's react to some of that when we come back. Just heard from the skipper. I love these weekly conversations. Always gives us something to ponder and to chew on a little bit. So we will discuss when we return. Quick check of traffic, then more Ben and Woods coming up here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Reacting to our manager's report, weekly conversation with Mike Schilt. And let's start at the end there. The question that you asked, and you got a pretty good answer out of Mike Schilt. Was there a little intent there when Fernando Tatis Jr. took some inside pitches? Final at-bat of the series, Cubs were frustrated, going to lose 2 out of 3, getting bodied on Wednesday. And Tatis got dusted a couple of times.
I mean, I don't know what they show during the games. I don't go back and watch the games. You know, they don't need to show me ever. But I've said my piece. I'm not going to run the field and start, you know, throwing blows yet. But I think I made it pretty clear in some circles, you know, that we're not going to tolerate that. So we'll always defend our guy. But there's different ways that gets done. But there's been some dialogue that allows people to know we don't appreciate it.
Yes.
Mike Schilt's not just a live and let live kind of guy, like I am. He's not that way. So
it's funny, man. Intent is something, you know, that it's hard to know. And I think
every player will get some inside pitches. They'll get hit by the pitches.
Yeah, and you think
and they're not all messages. They're not all supposed to be there.
You think you know, right? It could be young pitcher trying to find his way that throws really hard, doesn't know where it's going. It just seems to happen a lot here, and it has over the last few years. And, you know, I think it goes along when anytime a teammate has your back, that means a lot to you. I mean, like what Rowdy Tellez did for David Bednar the other day, he was defending him and saying, my man's going to get it figured out. You know, we've got his back in here. You can't win without feeling like your teammates have your back. And I've seen a better camaraderie, I think, in the short time this season than I did last year. It does feel a little bit different, certainly. But, you know, it remains to be seen. I thought, what a good opportunity for Eniel De Los Santos to come out and, you know, let somebody else know we've got it, too. Like Mutt always says, we've got that pitch, too. And, again, not calling for anybody to be hit or anything like that. Just saying, hey, we can also bust you inside, move your feet, knock you on your ass as well.
Would you agree that Fernando Tatis Jr. seems to get more of those pitches than other guys?
100%. Part of it is where he stands and how he kind of dives in over the plate. And there's certain guys that's their whole game. Like, they're going to stand on top of the plate, and they're going to lean there. Max Muncy's really good at getting hit by pitches. I don't know that he ever feels like anybody actually throws at him. I feel like he's up there, like, if I can wear one here and get on base, you know, that's a good
thing. Tatis is not trying to get hit.
He is not that guy. Tatis is not the guy that's like, you know, please hit me. But
so you think it's more of a function of his style of game, how he's in the batter's box.
He's also
a factor.
It's not a response necessarily to his flamboyance and swag as much.
Little bit of everything, potentially. Little bit of everything, you know. I know
Jake gets hit more than anybody.
He does.
But it doesn't feel like they're throwing at Jake when he gets hit.
Yeah, at all. You know, they never, it doesn't feel like that ever. You know, like, oh man, you really went after Crony there. No, but it feels when it is your superstar. By the way,
the only reason I ask that is sometimes when we feel it's also our perceptions that are clouded because it's Fernando Tatis Jr. We feel like there's more intent, maybe
a little bit of both
than there is. And I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, I mean, but it just seems, and I don't think it's recency bias. I mean, we've had this conversation a couple dozen times in our time together. Like, man, another series, Tatis, you know, ends up on his ass a few times. Not my favorite thing to see. Don't like to see really any player, but any superstar, especially like Fernando Tatis wears one in the hands or something. We're torpedoed, man. We're torpedoed, you know, honestly, like, that's just throwing inside is one thing. Throwing up and in, which is what happens to him a lot. That's what cannot happen. You know,
some comments about the Dodgers series, and you know, it's just baseball. We're just playing baseball, but also acknowledging they're rivals and they're close. And this is more than just a series against the Reds or a series against the Marlins. It's the Dodgers, so there you can't ignore the fact that it means a little bit more, not just to the fans, but to everybody when you play the Dodgers. And I think he's trying to strike that balance of, yeah, but we still just have to go out and play baseball against that team. They're not superhuman people. They're good baseball players, but there's nothing mystical or magical that makes the Dodgers win.
No, there's not. I mean, they have good players.
That's it.
They're really, really good players. And, you know, they really are they've dominated you in the regular season. They absolutely have dominated. You have the upper hand in the last postseason meeting against that team. Dodgers are motivated to win that. You know, you never want somebody to rise up to your level. And so I think they'll be motivated to win these games, but I feel like they're motivated to win every game they play, just like we should be. And, I'm excited. I mean, it's more for the fans. It really is. Like, let's be honest. It's more for the fans. We hate them. We hate the Dodgers more than any Padre player hates the Dodgers or their fans. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's more important to us.
Yeah, because
they're getting paid regardless.
Yeah, because I think
because Twitter exists. That's why.
Yeah, well, that's part of it for sure.
And you wear it and all that. So.
Yeah, and you know if Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani were constantly on Twitter chirping at the Padres all day,
right?
Padres players probably would be a little more, you know, emotional about the series. But we're emotional because the fans, the Dodgers fans, are doing that all the time.
Sure.
And, you know, we're doing it back. Yeah. And so that makes this bigger for us.
The fan base to rile up. They really are. They're very, very. For all that money, all those star players, they're pretty easy to ride.
And it sounded like he agreed. Manny Machado is definitely turning a corner and making good strides. You know, no official date on when he's going to be back at third base, but he's throwing, feeling good. And clearly the swing and where the ball is going and how it's coming off the bat has been a little bit different. Now, you know, I know Manny had a couple of home runs early and he crushed them. Monster shots. But when he said, you know, the top of that zone pitch, that was one that
he was getting,
really
he
was frustrating him. Yeah. And now that he's kind of feeling more comfortable on that one, does make Manny a more complete hitter and a more dangerous player in the Padres lineup.
Manny, Xander, Tatis, they go. They have big series against the Dodgers. We have a good shot. They don't. We don't. That means it's pretty simple. You know, I mean, those guys need to hit. They need to do star stuff. And they're stars, and they need to act like it this weekend and every weekend. You know, we need them to come through. Those are the guys we should be focusing our attention on. Tyler Wade goes 0-for. So what? That's Tyler Wade in the 9-hole. Who cares? You know, he's not supposed to do anything. Your stars got to be stars. And that's what's been working for LA. It's what's been working in New York. Right now, their stars are playing like stars. And, you know, who cares what the third, fourth outfielder does? Oh, Sugar, you know, didn't get a knock there. Well, okay. I mean, what did Xander do? What did Manny do? What did Tatis do? Crony, for that matter, right now is playing like a superstar. So that's who we need to come through this weekend and every weekend.
I will take our final time out here. We can look at all the matchups for the series coming forward. I don't know. Maybe spin the topic. Well, it's been a while.
It has been ages.
We want to finish
my
on
God.
A Friday with something a little light and fun before we lead into Annie and Elston. Coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Bit of a developing story here at the Masters, Woods.
Great.
In fact, it involves your distant relation, Tiger Woods. Three bogeys on the front nine.
Ooh.
Two birdies. He's at 2 over. He's right on the cut line. The cut line is currently projected at 2 over. He has made the cut 23 straight times at the Masters. If he makes it one more time, he will set an all-time record for most consecutive cuts. But he's going to have to play his last 11 holes in no worse than probably even par. Maybe get red numbers, a birdie or two somewhere on the back nine, if he's going to keep that run going and continue into the weekend at Augusta National.
How many straight?
23 straight Whew. Cuts made at Augusta, tied with Fred Couples and Gary Player,
man,
for the most all time.
Who's leading?
It's still Max Homa and Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson through 2 holes, even. Max Homa is 2 under through 7. Both are at 7 under for the tournament. Scottie Scheffler at 6 under has yet to tee off. He is one stroke back in the second round at the Masters.
Okay. Well, I got an important update from the misses earlier.
Oh, I can't wait. All right, we'll get to that right after the check of traffic.
Hooter research.
Yes, on 97.3 The Fam. All right, if you were listening in our open, in our fourth place segment,
yeah,
you can go check it out.
Good debate.
Woods brought up a question of whether it was okay to take his young children for wings at his favorite wing restaurant. And really, that would be an obvious answer to everyone if your favorite wing restaurant was like B-Dubs.
Yeah.
Or Wingstop. Or Epic Wings and Things, or just your local sports bar. But your favorite wing restaurant is?
Hooters, obviously.
Hooters.
Love Hooters.
And Hannah was not a big fan of you taking her kids.
Our kids. Our children.
Your kids.
My sons.
Both of your kids.
My beautiful sons.
Hers as well.
Yes.
To Hooters. But not because she felt like they were going to be corrupted. You all have already corrupted them plenty.
They're fairly... Actually, no. Bo's like scared of everything, which is great. It's exactly what you want. I want him terrified of jail and prison and everything. That's
you don't go to jail for going to Hooters.
No, you don't. It's far from it. But she was, I don't want you guys. And I'm like, Bo really wants wings. So I just want to make him happy. I'm going to take him to where I like my wings. And I think he would like them too. They're not super messy. I don't get the big breaded ones. And I really like the way that they taste. It has nothing to do with the Hooters girls. Okay? I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? Right? So she texted me. She goes, fine. Hooters is fine. Ginny has allowed it. Her friend Ginny Flannery, Flan's daughter, says, oh, no, we've done
it. Is it possible Flan had some influence here?
Potentially. So I've gotten the go-ahead now. I think I'm going to do it.
All right. Well, if you, if anyone wants to stop by and see Woods tonight making his appearance.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow at Hooters.
The pictures of the three of us at Hooters will be elite. It will just be elite, elite content. And I think they'll really enjoy their time.
I think so, too.
How could you not?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Here are the matchups for this weekend's series in Los Angeles starting tonight. Michael King on the mound, 2-0 with 3.14 ERA. Good start to the season for Michael King going up against Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who's been very good outside of one inning against the San Diego Padres in Korea. He's 1-1 with a 4.09 ERA. Tomorrow, Matt Waldron will take the mound, and he is coming off an excellent second start of the season in his last outing. 0-1, 3.86 ERA. He's facing Gavin Stone. He struggled a bit. He's 0-1 with a 7.88 ERA for the Dodgers to start the year. And then Sunday, that's a 6.05, I believe, start tomorrow. 6.10, one of those two. And then Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. Yu Darvish back making his fifth start already this season.
Wow.
No one's made that many starts for sure. He is 0-1 with a 3.86 ERA, but scuffled his last time out against the Cubs as they get the four quick runs off of him in the game the Padres rallied to win. He'll be going up against James Paxton, who is off to a very good start. He's 2-0 with a 1.64 ERA,
of course,
for the Dodgers. So there's your pitching matchups for the series in Los Angeles this weekend.
All right. Not going to Coachella today, I take it.
Was not planning on going to Coachella.
You still
today.
Could. I think if you wanted
good time.
To, we could make it our way out to India, which again, in a different life, I would have been, as soon as we were done here, I would have been heading out to Coachella tonight because Deftones playing and Lana Del Rey and a bunch of other acts.
Where did you stay when you went to Coachella?
So,
like in an RV or did you like stay at a hotel?
No, so we rented a house. The station rented a house in Coachella Valley, which was awesome, but it was far as oh, it's like we rode bikes one year. That was a mistake. Then you had to lock them, find them after the show.
Oh, God,
then you
awful.
Had to ride them back fairly inebriated and under the influence. And you had to ride them back. It was a nightmare. We took a rickshaw one year. They had people with rickshaws. And that was a trip. You had to walk miles and miles and miles. It was tough. And then we stayed.
Yeah, it's just on a... It's just on a, in a field
yeah.
in Coachella, which
yeah.
is or Indio, California, which is the eastern side of the Coachella Valley, where La Quinta.
Right.
Like I go there for golf courses, Palm Desert, La Quinta, very
yeah.
nice.
Not a lot of golfers out there.
Palm
this
Springs,
weekend.
But not at Coachella.
No,
different sort of crowd.
Different crowd. One that I think you would very much enjoy. I think you would really have a good time.
And then the last few years, they don't have any actual performers, just holograms and DJs, correct?
It's just mostly DJs.
Right.
Yeah. Mostly.
But no one actually plays any music?
They do
or
now.
They do play some music.
They're getting okay. back, having some actual guitars. I think they had three guitars there all of last year, if my memory serves. But it really, it's not for us, 48-year-olds.
What's the food scene like at Coachella?
Amazing.
Really?
Absolutely amazing.
Is it like temporary like stands,
yeah,
like the fair
stands
that are
like
set
the
up?
Fair.
Okay.
They have Koji burritos. You ever had a Koji burrito?
I don't think so. It's like Korean? Sounds Korean.
It's Korean. It's they're only in LA. They have Korean the Korean burrito trucks that go around.
Don't dodge your love right now.
I'm not. Okay. I'm not. I'm just saying the Koji burritos are they're
fill
to
it
die
with like
for.
Korean like barbecue
spare
meats
ribs and,
then. And
oh my God. You've never had anything like
spare
it.
Spare ribs in a burrito.
Bro, you would die.
Seems like the bone might be a problem. But
take the just the
yeah. Boneless
spare ribs.
Okay.
Ungodly. They're and I, you know, you go and you rage for a few days and you eat one meal in 3 days and that was what I would always wait. And I would get it on
Sunday.
And then
Sunday. What about the alcohol scene?
What about it?
You bring your own?
No.
They sell it? You can't
sell
bring
it.
Your own?
Yeah, you can't bring your own.
No
B-Y-O-L. Uh-uh. It's wild. It's a wild scene. One that I'm just not accustomed or acclimated
what's the
to.
Like, is it all day?
It's
is
all
it,
day.
What time
yeah.
does it start? Like in the morning
it's
or
all,
the afternoon?
It's all day. Like noon?
Noon until like
4 a.m.?
Really? That
yes.
late?
We went one year. It was all my favorite bands played on a Friday night. We drove in from here. Got there and it was band.
Headliners
band,
take the
band.
Stage at what, like 11, 11:30?
Yeah. And we were there until like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was exhausted, but it was one of the most
And then
fun.
You have to come back and if you're going
do it again.
All 3 days, you have to do it again the next
I've
day.
Never made it. I went to like eight of them. I never
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Bitch.
I never made it to Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
All three.
Never once did I go.
Even
all
when
three
you
days.
Were working.
No, I would. We would work out of our home, and I was like, I'm not going tonight.
You're not even going.
No, no, stay at home. I never made it to all three
so
days.
So you're there to cover Coachella, and you didn't actually go to Coachella.
Does that surprise anyone? I raged so hard on Friday that I'd be like, I'm not going.
I mean, we did go to spring training last year and did a whole show just from our Airbnb.
Yeah.
That wasn't our fault. They didn't have room for us that day, but that's like covering spring training without actually going to spring training.
Right. And so I would just say I'm not doing it.
So at some point, we need to make the trip happen for Coachella. Ben towering over.
I want
every
him covering
person.
Coachella. That's
yes.
Is there only short people allowed at Coachella?
No, but you're really
you're tall.
Tall.
You're taller than most people.
You would,
and you with your floppy bucket hat.
Him just walking around and trying to walk the 17 miles in flip flops would be comedy. People do it. I've seen them do it. But you really need. It sucks because you get old and you're like, cool. I'm going to wear my dad's sneakers out here at Coachella.
Like Ben covering Coachella would be the most incredible content.
Best content.
So are you
ever.
Here for? For Doja Cat.
Yeah, are you here for Dead Meow 5? Right.
It's Dead Mouse.
Right. But it just.
I know, but
you covering
like
it would
Ice
be.
Ice Spice. I like Spice.
I like Spice. Would be so good. So, so good. All right. That's it.
No, it's not.
That's all I got.
He's done.
I'm done.
Let's spin the topic wheel once, and then we'll play some things that Ben likes. I mean, it's the desert. Flip-flops are fine.
Yeah, when you have to walk 17 miles.
Oh, boy, this is going to make people upset.
Oh, great.
What is your most unpopular food opinion?
Avocados suck.
Ooh.
Said it many times.
It's the Fallbrook Avocado Festival this weekend.
Enjoy.
If I was going to go somewhere.
More for you.
Less Coachella, more avocado festival for me.
I like guacamole. I do not like avocados. And they don't need to be put on everything.
Some things.
Not
everything.
Not for me. I'm good.
I like avocados in just about every form.
Yeah.
Sliced on a sandwich.
I know.
Mashed into guacamole. They're good.
Tastes like snot.
That is an unpopular opinion.
It is.
For sure.
And I get it. More for you guys. More for you guys.
I don't like barbecue.
What?
Like the traditional, like brisket.
Really?
What? No, that is a broad brush.
It's a broad brush.
Painted with. Like ribs. Good, yummy pork ribs.
Like, I don't like going out for barbecue.
Really?
Yeah. And maybe it's a place, it's circumstantial. Like, I know there are places around here that are good, but it's not, we're not a barbecue city like
no,
St. Louis, Kansas City, etc.
So if you lived in like,
I'm Kansas, sure.
If you lived, well, if you, I was going to say, if you lived in Kansas City, would you be like, oh, we get it, barbecue? Like, you'd be over it? Or?
I don't think so. I mean, it doesn't, it's not, again, it's not my favorite, but it's because I think I don't haven't had the best stuff out here, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like,
Crandall's pretty amazing, dude.
I'd rather just like go out and grab a steak.
Yeah, it's different.
Instead of burnt ends and brisket.
Oh, burnt ends. Oh, my God. I love burnt ends.
All right. This is a very minor but unpopular food opinion, I believe, but Triscuits are better than Wheat Thins.
You're out of your mind. Literally.
I knew you,
they
I knew,
are.
I knew you would say that.
Triscuits are the most hideous.
No. You need to get,
you never get one caught in your, I guess you Wheat need, Thins too.
You need to give Triscuits another try.
No chance.
When I was younger, I agreed with you.
The flavored ones aren't bad.
No, I like the plain ones.
The ones that taste like shredded wheat.
Yes. I love those.
Absolutely.
Just a little salt.
Repugnant.
Just a little salt.
What do you put on the cheese hummus. Or something? Hummus. See, I don't even need, I think a good cracker, you don't
wheat
need anything on it.
Wheat Thins become cloying and.
What does that mean?
A cracker cloying. Doesn't need anything on it. You just eat crackers.
I do.
Just crackers.
I eat sleeves of saltines.
Crackers have to have things
no,
on
they,
it.
No, I eat sleeves of saltines.
Chips you can eat without the dip occasionally, but a cracker is just a vehicle for what you put on it. You don't eat crackers.
I do. Sleeves.
Wheat Thins.
I eat Ritz by the sleeve, dude. It's my favorite snack. Ask my wife right now what's in our pantry. Big old thing is saltines. I just crush a sleeve of them. I love them.
Saltines are so boring. They're just designed to eat something else with them.
Man, you must be. Triscuits are better than wheat. You can like Triscuits.
I like Wheat Thins.
You.
But Triscuits are better.
They're not.
They're just more grown up.
Thick and weedy.
They're more grown up
than Wheat Thins.
Yeah.
Jay, remember our old producer? hey, you and Mikey look like you're on the new diet with Wheat Thix. And I was like, all right, bro.
Wheat Thix.
I knew it would be. He said unpopular food opinion.
Yeah, people in the chat losing their mind.
It's unpopular. I gave it to
you. And I'm like, it's not like we're out here. Ah, unpopular food opinion. I'm not a big fan of liver and onions. Yeah. Supposed to piss people off.
Right? You're right. You're right.
We got Raising Cane's overrated. We got some other unpopular food opinions in there.
That's good. When you guys went to Raising Cane's when I was sick in the back seat of the car on the way home from spring training, and then you guys got in and you smelled like Raising Cane's, I'll never be able to eat it
Triscuits
again.
Triscuits are the old people hard candies of crackers.
It is. They're for old men.
When your grandmother offers you a Triscuit, you know, that's all you've got, Grandma? No.
Wheat Thins rule.
Triscuits are good.
Okay, sucks. I'm with him.
I'm not a fan either.
Pokey's delicious.
I'm over it.
With avocado.
I've had some bad Pokey. I've had some bad pokey, and it did not do well.
Let's finish with some likes and end the week here. I like a lot of things. I like Chick-fil-A sauce. I just like rankings. I like Steve Winwood. I like Pie Gal Poker. I like to be informed on subjects. I like Chicago. I like Tom Petty. I like the idea of another left-handed bat in the lineup for sure. I do like a good Matt Damon film. I like being on the same page. I like broccoli. I like Brussels sprouts. I like a lot of things. I like this shirt. I like Wipeout. I liked my omelet. I like San Diego State at home. I like when a baseball player can be more than just a baseball player. I like vanilla. I like the atmosphere. I like the felt on a poker table. Just kind of how it feels under your fingers when you're there. I like rhubarb pie. I like the window seat. Changing the subject. I like that. I like just a standard yellow peep. I like how San Diego State's playing right now. I like finer things. I like calling a game. I like fiction more than nonfiction. Just like the cream. I actually like playing golf with other people. I've liked everything I've seen so far from Mike Schill. I like Mexican food. I like just the solar system. I do like steak. I like specifics. I like going to 7 Mile Casino during the day. I like that people are there having a good time. I like my new eating schedule. I liked what I was eating. Yeah, I like the variety of the menu at Sammy's. I do like a good midnight buffet.
You're amazing.
We lost it. What happened? I like when the story has an arc.
Oh, yeah. Like, do we cut some?
Is that the old one?
That might have been the old one. Yeah. Well, we'll have to play them all someday. Just
oh, we will.
Front to back.
The day you go on vacation, we absolutely will.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming soon, actually.
A big bone of contention
around here. Less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
A little Ben vacation finally in 2024.
That's right.
Waiting for
it. You deserve it.
Finally going to happen, but not yet. We'll be back next week. Full week, all three of us, all 5 days, correct?
Yep.
All five of us, all 3 days.
That would be a shorter week.
I would sign up for that as well.
We'd have a bigger ensemble on the show. Bit of a developing story here at the Masters, Woods.
Great.
In fact, it involves your distant relation, Tiger Woods. 3 bogeys on the front 9.
Ooh.
2 birdies. He's at 2 over. He's right on the cut line. The cut line is currently projected at 2 over. He has made the cut 23 straight times at the Masters. If he makes it one more time, he will set an all-time record for most consecutive cuts. But he's going to have to play his last 11 holes in no worse than probably even par. Maybe get red numbers, a birdie or two somewhere on the back 9 if he's going to keep that run going and continue into the weekend at Augusta National.
How many straight?
23 straight cuts made at Augusta, tied with Fred Couples and Gary Player,
man,
for the most all time.
Who's leading?
It's still Max Homa and Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson through 2 holes, even. Max Homa is 2 under through 7. Both are at 7 under for the tournament. Scottie Scheffler at 6 under has yet to tee off. He is 1 stroke back in the second round at the Masters.
Okay. Well, I got an important update from the misses earlier.
Oh, I can't wait. All right, we'll get to that right after.
Sure.
The check of traffic.
Hooter research.
Yes. On 97.3 The Fam. All right, if you were listening in our open, in
you
our fourth place segment,
yeah,
you can go check it out.
Good debate.
Woods brought up a question of whether it was okay to take his young children for wings at his favorite wing restaurant. And really, that would be an obvious answer to everyone if your favorite wing restaurant was like B-Dubs.
Yeah.
Or Wingstop. Or Epic Wings and Things, or just your local sports bar. But your favorite wing restaurant is?
Hooters, obviously.
Hooters.
Love Hooters.
And Hannah was not a big fan of you taking her kids.
Our kids. Our children.
Your kids.
My sons.
Both of your kids.
My beautiful sons.
Hers as well.
Yes.
To Hooters. But not because she felt like they were going to be corrupted. You all have already corrupted them plenty.
They're fairly... Actually, no. Bo's like scared of everything, which is great. It's exactly what you want. I want him terrified of jail and prison and everything. That's what...
You don't go to jail for going to Hooters.
No, you don't. It's far from it. But she was like, I don't want you guys. And I'm like, Bo really wants wings. So I just want to make him happy. I'm going to take him to where I like my wings. And I think he would like them too. They're not super messy. I don't get the big breaded ones. And I really like the way that they taste. It has nothing to do with the Hooters girls. Okay? I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? Right? So... She texted me. She goes, fine. Hooters is fine. Ginny has allowed it. Her friend Ginny Flannery, Flan's daughter, says, oh, no, we've done
that. Is it possible Flan had some influence here?
Potentially. So I've gotten the go-ahead now. I think I'm going to do it.
All right. Well, if anyone wants to stop by and see Woods tonight making his appearance.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow at Hooters.
The pictures of the three of us at Hooters will be elite. It will just be elite, elite content. And I think they'll really enjoy their time.
I think so, too.
How could you not?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Here are the matchups for this weekend's series in Los Angeles starting tonight. Michael King on the mound, 2-0 with 3.14 ERA. Good start to the season for Michael King going up against Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who's been very good outside of one inning against the San Diego Padres in Korea. He's 1-1 with a 4.09 ERA. Tomorrow, Matt Waldron will take the mound, and he is coming off an excellent second start of the season in his last outing. 0-1, 3.86 ERA. He's facing Gavin Stone. He struggled a bit. He's 0-1 with a 7.88 ERA for the Dodgers to start the year. And then Sunday, that's a 6.05, I believe, start tomorrow. 6.10, one of those two. And then Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. Yu Darvish back making his fifth start already this season.
Wow.
No one's made that many starts for sure. He is 0-1 with a 3.86 ERA, but scuffled his last time out against the Cubs as they get the four quick runs off of him in the game the Padres rallied to win. He'll be going up against James Paxton, who is off to a very good start. He's 2-0 with a 1.64 ERA,
of course,
for the Dodgers. So there's your pitching matchups for the series in Los Angeles this weekend.
All right. Not going to Coachella today, I take it.
Was not planning on going to Coachella.
You still
today.
Could. I think if you wanted
good
to,
time.
We could make it our way out to India, which again, in a different life, I would have been, as soon as we were done here, I would have been heading out to Coachella tonight because Deftones playing and Lana Del Rey and a bunch of other acts.
Where did you stay when you went to Coachella?
So,
like in an RV or did you like stay at a hotel?
No, so we rented a house. The station rented a house in Coachella Valley, which was awesome, but it was far as oh, it's like we rode bikes one year. That was a mistake. Then you had to lock them, find them after the show.
Oh, God,
then you
awful.
Had to ride them back fairly inebriated and under the influence. And you had to ride them back. It was a nightmare. We took a rickshaw one year. They had people with rickshaws. And that was a trip. You had to walk miles and miles and miles. It was tough. And then we stayed.
Yeah, it's just on a... It's just on a, in a field
yeah.
in Coachella, which
yeah.
is or Indio, California, which is the eastern side of the Coachella Valley, where La Quinta,
right.
like I go there for golf courses, Palm Desert, La Quinta, very
yeah.
nice.
Not a lot of golfers out there
Palm
this
Springs,
weekend.
But not at Coachella.
No.
Different sort of crowd.
Different crowd. One that I think you would very much enjoy. I think you would really have a good time.
And then the last few years, they don't have any actual performers, just holograms and DJs, correct?
It's mostly DJs.
Right.
Yeah. Mostly.
But no one actually plays any music?
They do
or
now.
They do play some music.
They're getting okay. back, having some actual guitars. I think they had three guitars there all of last year, if my memory serves. But it really, it's not for us, 48-year-olds.
What's the food scene like at Coachella?
Amazing.
Really?
Absolutely amazing.
Is it like temporary like stands,
yeah,
like the fair
stands
that are
like
set
the
up?
Fair.
Okay.
They have Koji burritos. You ever had a Koji burrito?
I don't think so. It's like Korean? Sounds Korean.
It's Korean. It's they're only in L.A. They have Korean the Korean burrito trucks that go around.
Don't dodge your love right now.
I'm not. Okay. I'm not. I'm just saying the Koji burritos are...
They're
they
fill it with like
for.
Korean like barbecue
spare
meats
ribs and
then
oh my God, You've never had anything like
spare ribs in a burrito.
Bro, you would die.
Seems like the bone might be a problem.
But take the, just the meat. Yeah.
Boneless spare ribs.
Okay. Ungodly. They're and you go and you rage for a few days and you eat one meal in 3 days, and that was what I would always wait. And I would get it on Sunday.
And then
Sunday.
What about the alcohol scene?
What about it?
You bring your own, they sell it, you can't
sell
bring
it.
Your own.
Yeah, you can't bring your own.
No BYOL.
Uh-uh. It's wild. It's a wild scene. One that I'm just not accustomed or acclimated
what's the
to.
Like, is it all day?
It's
is
all
it,
day.
What time
yeah.
does it start, like in the morning
it's
or
all,
the afternoon?
All day. Like noon?
Noon until like
4 a.m.
Really? That
yes.
late?
We went 1 year. It was all my favorite bands played on a Friday night. We drove in from here. Got there and it was band.
Take the stage at what, like 11, 11:30? Yeah.
And we were there until like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was exhausted, but it was one of the most
And then
fun.
You have to come back and if you're going.
Do it again.
All 3 days. You have to do it again the next
I've
day.
Never made it. I went to like 8 of them. I never.
Friday, Saturday,
show,
Sunday.
Bitch. I never made it to Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
All three.
Never once did I go
Even
all
when
three
you
days.
Were working.
No, I would. We would work out of our home. And I was like, I'm not going tonight.
You're not even going.
No, no, stay at home. I never made it to all three
so
days.
So you're there to cover Coachella, and you didn't actually go to Coachella.
Does that surprise anyone? I raged so hard on Friday that I'd be like, I'm not going.
I mean, we did go to spring training last year and did a whole show just from our Airbnb.
Yeah.
That wasn't our fault. They didn't have room for us that day, but that's like covering spring training without actually going to spring training.
Right. And so I would just say I'm not doing it.
So
at
some point, we need to make the trip happen for Coachella. Ben towering over.
I want
every
him covering
person.
Coachella. That's
yes.
Is there only short people allowed at Coachella?
No, but you're really
you're tall.
Tall.
You're taller than most people.
You would,
and you with your floppy bucket hat.
Him just walking around and trying to walk the 17 miles in flip flops would be comedy. People do it. I've seen them do it, but you really need. It sucks because you get old and you're like, cool. I'm going to wear my dad's sneakers out here at Coachella.
Like Ben covering Coachella would be the most incredible content.
Best content.
So are you
ever.
Here for? For Doja Cat.
Yeah, are you here for Dead Meow 5? Right.
It's Dead Mouse.
Right. But it just.
I know, but
you covering
like
it would
Ice
be.
Ice Spice. I like Spice.
I like Spice. Would be so good. So, so good. All right. That's it.
No, it's not.
That's all I got.
He's done.
I'm done.
Let's spin the topic wheel once, and then we'll play some things that Ben likes. I mean, it's the desert. Flip-flops are fine.
Yeah, when you have to walk 17 miles.
Oh, boy, this is going to make people upset.
Oh, great.
What is your most unpopular food opinion?
Avocados suck.
Ooh.
Send it many times.
It's the Fallbrook Avocado Festival this weekend.
Enjoy.
If I was going to go somewhere.
More for you.
Less Coachella, more avocado festival for me.
I like guacamole. I do not like avocados. And they don't need to be put on everything.
Some things.
Not
everything.
Not for me. I'm good.
I like avocados in just about every form.
Yeah.
Sliced on a sandwich.
I know.
Mashed into guacamole. They're good.
Tastes like snot.
That is an unpopular opinion.
It is.
For sure.
And I get it. More for you guys. More for you guys.
I don't like barbecue.
What?
Like the traditional, like brisket.
Really?
What? No, that is a broad brush.
It's a broad brush.
Painted with. Like ribs. Good, yummy pork ribs.
Like, I don't like going out for barbecue.
Really?
Yeah. And maybe it's a place, it's circumstantial. Like, I know there are places around here that are good, but it's not, we're not a barbecue city like
no,
St. Louis, Kansas City, et cetera.
So if you lived in like,
I'm Kansas, sure.
If you lived, well, if you, I was going to say, if you lived in Kansas City, would you be like, oh, we get it, barbecue? Like, you'd be over it? Or?
I don't think so. I mean, it doesn't, it's not, again, it's not my favorite, but it's because I think I don't haven't had the best stuff out here, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like,
Crandall's pretty amazing, dude.
I'd rather just like go out and grab a steak.
Yeah, it's different.
Instead of burnt ends and brisket.
Oh, burnt ends. Oh, my God. I love burnt ends.
All right. This is a very minor but unpopular food opinion, I believe, but Triscuits are better than Wheat Thins.
You're out of your mind. Literally.
I knew you,
they
I knew,
are.
I knew you would say that.
Triscuits are the most hideous.
No. You need to get,
you never get one caught in your, I guess you Wheat need, Thins too.
You need to give Triscuits another try.
No chance.
When I was younger, I agreed with you.
The flavored ones aren't bad.
No, I like the plain ones.
The ones that taste like shredded wheat.
Yes. I love those.
Absolutely.
A little salt.
Repugnant.
Just a little salt.
What do you put on the cheese hummus. Or something? Hummus.
Hummus.
See, I don't even need, I think a good cracker, you don't need anything on it.
Wheat thins become cloying and.
What does that mean?
A cracker doesn't need anything on it. You just eat crackers.
I do.
Just crackers.
I eat sleeves of saltines.
Crackers have to have things on it.
I eat sleeves of saltines.
Chips you can eat without the dip occasionally, but a cracker is just a vehicle for what you put on it. You don't eat crackers.
I do. Sleeves.
Wheat thins.
I eat Ritz by the sleeve, dude. It's my favorite snack. Ask my wife right now what's in our pantry. The whole thing is saltines. I just crush a sleeve of them. I love them.
Saltines are so boring. They're just designed to eat something else with them.
Man, you must be. Triscuits are better than wheat. You can like Triscuits.
I like wheat thins.
Yep.
But Triscuits are better.
They're not.
They're just more grown up.
Thick and weedy.
They're more grown up.
Than wheat thins?
Than wheat thins, yeah.
Jay, remember our old producer? Hey, you and Mikey look like you're on the new diet with Wheat Thix. And I was like, all right, bro. Wheat Thix.
I knew it would be. He said unpopular food opinion.
Yeah, people in the chat losing their mind.
It's unpopular.
I gave it to you. And I'm like, it's not like we're out here. Ah, unpopular food opinion. I'm not a big fan of liver and onions.
Yeah, right.
Supposed to piss people off.
Right? You're right.
We got Raising Cane's overrated. We got some other unpopular food opinions in there.
That's good. When you guys went to Raising Cane's when I was sick in the back seat of the car on the way home from spring training, and then you guys got in and you smelled like Raising Cane's, I'll never be able to eat it
Triscuits
again.
Triscuits are the old people hard
it
candies
is.
Of crackers.
It is. They're for old men.
When your grandmother offers you a Triscuit, you know, that's all you've got, Grandma? No.
Wheat Thins rule.
Triscuits are good.
Pokey sucks. I'm with him.
I'm not a fan either.
Pokey's delicious.
I'm over it.
With avocado.
I've had some bad...
Pokey.
I've had some bad pokey, and it did not do well.
Let's finish like with some up. Likes and end the week here. I like a lot of things. I like Chick-fil-A sauce. I just like rankings. I like Steve Winwood. I like Pie Gal Poker. I like to be informed on subjects. I like Chicago. I like Tom Petty. I like the idea of another left-handed bat in the lineup for sure. I do like a good Matt Damon film. I like being on the same page. I like broccoli. I like Brussels sprouts. I like a lot of things. I like this shirt. I like Wipeout. I liked my omelet. I like San Diego State at home. I like when a baseball player can be more than just a baseball player. I like vanilla. I like the atmosphere. I like the felt on a poker table. Just kind of how it feels under your fingers when you're there. I like rhubarb pie. I like the window seat. Changing the subject. I like that. I like just a standard yellow peep. I like how San Diego State's playing right now. I like finer things. I like calling a game. I like fiction more than nonfiction. Just like the cream. I actually like playing golf with other people. I've liked everything I've seen so far from Mike Schill. I like Mexican food. I like just the solar system. I do like steak. I like specifics. I like going to 7 Mile Casino during the day. I like that people are there having a good time. I like my new eating schedule. I liked what I was eating. Yeah, I like the variety of the menu at Sammy's. I do like a good midnight buffet.
You're amazing.
We lost it. What happened? I like when the story has an arc.
Oh, yeah. Like, do we cut some?
Is that in the old one?
That might have been the old one. Yeah. Well, we'll have to play them all someday. Just
oh, we will.
Front to back.
Yeah. The day you end go on vacation, end. We absolutely will.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming soon, actually.
A big bone of contention
around here.
Less
than 2 weeks
here.
Away.
Yeah.
A little Ben vacation finally in 2024.
That's right.
Waiting for
it. You deserve it.
Finally going to happen, but not yet. We'll be back next week. Full week, all three of us, all 5 days, correct?
Yep.
All five of us, all 3 days.
That would be a shorter week.
I would sign up for that as well.
We'd have a bigger ensemble on the show. Well, if you count the three of us and then Annie and Elston, that's 5, but they've got Braden too, so it's really 6 coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. For executive producer Paul Reinold and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great weekend from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.